Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Thank you for joining us on the RTC Weekly Download. This week we have Escape and Serenade for a Cobra. That's from 1950. And following that, we've got a comedy for you. None other than Burns and Allen from 1940. George is going to be on trial, so that should be an interesting one. Coming up in 30 minutes. Stay tuned.
Tired of the everyday routine? Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all?
We offer you Escape. Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure. Escape, brought to you by your Richfield gasoline dealer and the Richfield Oil Corporation of New York, marketers of Richfield gasolines, motor oils, and other petroleum products. Look for the Richfield Eagle on the cream and blue pumps.
Tonight, we escape to India in the story of an ex-army pilot caught up in murderous intrigue. As Joel Murcutt tells it in his exciting tale, Serenade for a Cobra.
He's got to keep playing. He's got to keep playing that music, and I've got to listen. If he keeps it up long enough, I'll have a chance. But if he stops, I'm going to die. And he may stop. He may stop any minute because that's what he wants. He wants me to die. My name's Monk Slavin. I'm a flyer. I don't know whatever brought me to Calcutta, but something about the name had the smell of gold. Sounded like the kind of place where a good pilot who didn't ask questions might make a deal. A big deal and a fast one. But nothing seemed to be drifting my way. Nothing but the intense hot wind of the monsoon and the fog from the Ganges and the sea, rolling over the city from all sides and strangling it. There was nothing to do but drink gin and quinine water at the airport bar and pray that you didn't get malaria.
Hello, Slavin.
Oh, hello, Grant. You back again?
Just flew in with a small cargo, a very small one. Mind if I sit down?
Help yourself. You won't get out of Calcutta tonight. Another 5 minutes of that fog, and there'll be a better ceiling in here than there is out there.
You sound like the monsoon's getting on your nerves. What you need is a job.
Doing what? Flying stinking hides down here from Kathmandu? You don't call that a job, do you?
It's the best work I can get at the moment. Now, if I had a chap like you to handle the flights, I'd have time to dig up some new business.
You don't have to dig it up, Grant. It's waiting for you. You used to ferry a lot of stuff in and out of China.
Yes, but that was before the present situation.
You could still make a buck out of China. A good fat profit anytime you wanted.
I don't fly contraband.
Oh, ethics, huh?
If you care to call it that, yes.
That's why you're starving with a lousy one-ship freight line.
I could take offense at that, but I won't. You don't even have a ship, Slavin, and I'll wager you have very little cash.
Well, that's a safe wager. You'd win.
Why not be practical, old boy? I can offer you £100 a month and meals and quarters at the base at Kathmandu.
You know, I don't know how I can resist this chance to become a millionaire, but I'll try.
It's better than nothing. Cushy enough. 420 miles down, 420 back, and no flying over the hump.
No thanks.
Beg pardon, Mr. Grant.
Oh, here's my mechanic.
I have completed your errand, sir.
Oh, that's fine, Jafar. I'll be right with you. If you change your mind, Slavin, you know where to find me.
Yeah, leave a light burning in the window. But don't wait up for me. That's all I got. Two-bit offers from men like Grant. A beggar, just like the reformed beggar that followed him around. His native man, Jafar. A Hindu street faker who learned about planes at an RAF base during the war. Now Grant had him for a grease monkey and a radio operator at the base. Well, you couldn't beat the British. They found a way to hang on. I reached for my half-empty glass and there's another drink beside it, a full one. A drink I hadn't ordered.
Is it permissible for a lady to buy the drinks?
Permissible? It's a big, happy new custom. And thank the lady for me if you ever see her.
The American flyer speaks sharply, like the eagle. But the poor eagle has no wings.
You were going to fix that for me, baby, remember? You had big connections while I'm still sitting here waiting.
My friends can use a flyer, but only if he has a plane.
Well, just wait here. I'll go out and buy one. How come your hotshot connections can't afford a plane?
It's not the case of affording. Planes are difficult to get. The license, the questions. The authorities are forever asking questions. But my friends, they never ask questions. If you had a plane, for instance, they would not ask who owned it.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
I heard Grant offer you a job. If you worked for him, there would be days when you would be waiting here for cargo. Enough time to make a little extra flight. A flight not on Mr. Grant's schedule. And remember, my friends pay well.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe Grant's gonna get himself a pilot after all. So I took Grant's job, and the next morning when the weather cleared, we drove to the field. Through the teeming streets with hot, oppressive, suffocating wind carrying the stench of the salt marshes across the city. It seemed like an eternity before we were off the ground and feeling the cool mercy of being airborne.
Well, old boy, what do you think of her?
Well, she handles all right. I just don't like the Havilland's. What is it, war surplus?
Yes, but completely reconditioned. Pressurized cabin, heating and air conditioning system. I've changed everything for comfort.
Yeah, even the radio. Why the open speaker instead of the headphones?
Picked up a fungus infection in my ears in Burma during the war. Headphones were painful, so I put in a speaker.
Well, I thought the British philosophy about pain was grin and bear it.
Only when we can't do anything about it, old boy.
Oh, yeah, I see. What's our ETA?
Hour and a half.
How's your landing strip?
We call the base Black Cat. Your plane identification is Red Kitten. The field's a bit like a waffle iron, so set her down as gently as you can.
I'll treat her like she was my own, Grant. Just like she was my very own. Well, Kathmandu was no improvement on Calcutta. I could see it from the air as we came in. The ancient wooden buildings and the temples, thousands of them, but outnumbered by the throngs of humanity in the dirty streets. We barely hit the strip before the rain started again, brought in from nowhere by the wind. We were weathered down again at the stinking base outside the town, and that's when Jafar, the mechanic, started with the punji, a kind of a native flute.
I say, Slavin, do sit down. You're wearing me out.
I'm wearing you out. Listen to that thing. Don't he ever stop?
He's just amusing himself. Sit down, man. How about a hand of cards?
How can I concentrate on cards while he's playing that thing? Can't you make him stop?
I can't make him do anything. He's in his own hut and, well, frankly, he's not bothering me.
Well, he's bothering me.
Why the slicker? Where are you going?
To turn that thing off before it drives me nuts.
Slavin, these Hindus are strange people. They resist pressure. I'd advise you to...
Save it. Grease monkeys handle the same way in India as they do anywhere else.
Slavin, be careful of that.
Jafar. Jafar, do you hear me? Jafar! Jafar, stop that thing! I don't know why I stopped inside the door, but I did. There was something eerie about the room. Something in Jafar's burning black eyes that held me. I watched the flute moving slowly as he played. Then I saw it in the dim light. The weaving, puffed head of a cobra. The snake was dancing in front of him. Oh, I'd seen cobras before in the bazaars and in the streets. No matter how many times I saw them, the sight of that deadly, slowly moving, puffed head was enough to turn my blood to ice. I backed slowly out of the room and closed the door. He played it every night after that, every waking hour of the night, until I could hear it even in my sleep. The strange, whining dirge, bringing with it the memory of a weaving head of a snake. In clear weather, I could get away from it for a while, but it would be waiting for me when I got back. And in Jafar's eyes, there was a challenge. I could feel his hot stare burning into me as we worked on the plane. What's on your mind, Jafar? What do you keep staring at me for?
Why did you change your mind, sir? Why do you now work for Mr. Grant?
What's it to you, Jafar?
Mr. Grant is good to Jafar. Mr. Grant is too quick to trust people.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, you do, sir. You know.
Get out of here, Jafar. Did you hear me? I said get out of here.
I must work on Mr. Grant's plane, sir.
That's an order! Get out!
Hey!
Jaffa!
Get him out of here before I kill him!
Go, Jaffa. Please.
All right. If you say so, Mr. Grant.
Slavin, I don't know what started this, but I do know that I don't want it to happen again.
Then keep him out of my hair. I don't like any of these people, and he rates number one on my list.
You made that plain enough. I'll try to keep him away from you. I only hope he will stay away from you.
What do you mean by that?
You've hurt him in his pride, Slavin. You don't understand these Hindus. He won't come back at you with force, but he will come back.
Oh, will he? Well, he knows who's boss now. I'll be in Calcutta with this load tonight. Tell him to get that flute out of his system while I'm gone. If he plays it when I get back, I'll ram it down his throat.
Aren't you going to buy me a drink?
You don't make me any money, baby, so don't cost me any.
But I am going to make you money. A lot of money.
You better come up with it fast. My job looks temporary.
Is tomorrow fast enough?
Tomorrow I'm bringing another load of hides down from Kathmandu. I'm going back there tonight.
Oh, that will fit in nicely. When you leave Kathmandu tomorrow, you will make a short side trip. One stop in China. Then come back here to Calcutta.
China, huh? Well, now you're beginning to interest me, baby. Where in China?
My friend knows. His name is Karkanov. He will be waiting for you tonight when you return to Kathmandu. Meet him at midnight, at the rear of Great Temple of Vishnu, at edge of town.
How big is the job?
Big, but very little trouble. That is, if you are not squeamish.
When I say how big, I mean how much.
For you? $10,000.
$10,000? How much of that do you expect?
Oh, Karkonov pays me. The 10,000 is all yours. Now will you buy me a drink?
Yeah. Now I'll buy both of us a drink.
Did you know that gasoline is one of the most mysterious chemical compounds in the world? Gasoline can contain hundreds of different components, but one stands out for its remarkable Antinoch quality. It's xylene. Xylene is one of the highest Antinoch gasoline components ever discovered. And today, xylene is contained in every gallon of Richfield gasoline. Xylene in Richfield gasoline helps give your car that quick surge of knock-free power. And you feel the silent power of xylene when you zip up a long hill. Moreover, your Richfield dealer offers you a choice of two great Richfield gasolines with xylene. Richfield High Octane at regular price for motors of average compression. And Richfield Ethyl for motors of highest compression. Let your Richfield dealer help you decide which Richfield gasoline is best for your car. Stop where you see the Richfield Eagle and the cream and blue pumps. Get the gasoline that contains one of the highest Antinoch components known to science. Get Richfield gasoline with xylene. And now we return you to Escape.
$10,000. Enough to get out of the trap. I can go back to the States on that, buy my own plane, pick up my own spots for a smart deal. I thought of it all the way back to Kathmandu. This would be my last night in that hole. My last night. Black Cat, calling Black Cat. This is Red Kitten calling Black Cat, over.
Red Kitten, this is Black Cat. Go ahead.
ETA 15 minutes. Visibility poor. How is it there?
Poor, but all right for landing, sir.
Light landing fields on all corners of the field. Flares, you hear me?
Mr. Grant has already left to do that, sir.
Good.
Would you like some music, sir?
What do you mean, music?
My music, sir.
Why, that dirty little swine? He's just trying to needle me, but I wouldn't let him. I couldn't afford it now. Just this one night, I could forget anything thinking about that. I spotted the oil fires at the four corners of the field, burning a clear spot through the ground haze. I turned on my landing lights and set her down like an old lady's rocking chair. I'd never land on this field again. I'd use it for one more takeoff tomorrow, but I'd never land on it again.
Turn off your flashlight, Mr. Slavin.
Karkanov, where are you?
On the steps of the temple. No, don't flash the light. Keep it off, please.
Ah, you are very prompt, Mr. Slavin.
$10,000 worth.
What time do you expect to take off tomorrow?
I'm scheduled to leave for Calcutta at noon.
Excellent. As you have been told, I want you to go into China.
Well, that's vague. It's a big country.
Inner Mongolia. It's just south of the city of Suzhou.
Whew, that's about 1,000 miles in.
1,200. Here is a map.
What's the deal?
On the map is the location of a field. Not a regular air base, but good enough for a landing. You will time your landing for just before sundown. You will take off again almost immediate and return by night.
Back over the hump at night, huh? That makes it interesting.
It will be dull, really, as all well-planned things should be dull, but profitable. A countryman of mine named Leontovich will meet you when you land at Suzhou. With him will be an old Chinese. They will return with you.
Too hot for him up there?
The old Chinese is a wealthy merchant. He will bring his wealth out with him. Through connections, we have arranged this escape for him.
Look, there's something else you'll have to arrange. I don't carry enough fuel to get me to Suzhou and back to Calcutta.
You will be refueled. Nothing has been overlooked.
Where do I contact you when I get back?
When you land at Calcutta, taxi to the north end of the field. I will be there with automobile to pick up your passenger and his cargo.
Passenger? You mean passengers, don't you? You said there'd be two, your man Leontovich and the old Chinese.
A trifle I forgot to mention. They will both start back with you, of course, but the old Chinese will not complete the trip. You understand?
Yeah, I understand. He disappeared into the darkness, and I started back to the field. The night was full of sound. Even the damp heat had a sound of its own, like nothing else in the world. But there was something else. Jafar, where are you? Jafar! Jafar! Where are you, Jafar? Where are you? Answer me! I'll find you! I'll get you! I'll get you, you dog! No! No, 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 the devil. He's riding me. I can't afford to think about him now. I gotta think about tomorrow. Just get back to the field and think about tomorrow. He was on the field in the morning, checking the plane as though nothing had happened. But I could see the glitter in his black eyes like the glitter of a snake's. I wanted to smash his face with my fist, but I couldn't. I had to fly out as though nothing was wrong. The motors caught sweetly, and I lifted off the strip like a feather, and then headed south for Calcutta until I was out of sight of the field. Then I made a half circle to the north and headed for the hump. Ah, she took it like a swallow. Past the white peak of Mount Everest, the top of the world, and out over the great plateau of Tibet. Then the northern rim of the Himalayas dipped beneath my wings, and I was over the hill country of Mongolia. I hit it right on the nose, the field outside the town of Suzhou, and made my landing just as the bottom edge of the sun was kissing the horizon.
I am Leontovich. The Chinese have a truck with fuel. Quickly.
Why so many of them? Karkalov said there'd be one Chinese.
They are the old man's friends. They come to see him off safely. That is why we must go to the bother of taking him along, far away.
All right, but watch them.
An armored car will come over the hill as we are ready to take off. Do not be alarmed.
I thought you had everything fixed here.
Quiet. They will not be after us. They will take care of the Chinese we leave behind.
Well, there better not be any slip-ups. Let's get out of here fast. Give me that hose up here. There were five of the Chinese, and deep in their impressive eyes was quiet terror. One was an old man clutching a wicker basket, but the terror in his eyes was tempered with a glint of hope. The others just stared at the plane with a terrible yearning. The last of the gas trickled into the tanks. We took the hose down. The truck backed off.
Are you ready?
Yeah, boost him in.
Come, old one.
They lifted the old man into the plane. Leontovich climbed in after him, closing the hatch. The motors caught, and I nosed her into the wind just as the four Chinese on the ground made a dash for the plane. The reason was clear. Coming across the hill at the end of the field, an armored car. Hey, what is this? They're shooting.
Not at us, but hurry.
Don't worry. Here we go.
Our friends on the ground seem to be dead. That was nicely arranged. Now they won't be able to talk.
How about the old man?
In the cabin, he saw nothing. It is almost dark. We can persuade him to leave us at any time now.
Wait. Someplace over Tibet.
As you say.
Carcano's man hadn't flown before. I could see it in his face. And I was thinking about the wicker basket. That was the cargo I could carry alone, all alone. I didn't have to land at Calcutta. I could go on to Bombay and be out of India on a ship to Africa before morning. The moon was bright over Tibet and it looked like a ghost land. The old Chinese seemed to be sleeping when I glanced back, his head bent down over the precious basket in his lap. I nodded to Leon Tovich. He moved slowly, methodically. He slipped an arm under the old man's head, jerked an elbow tight against his throat. I saw the old man's eyes, the terror and the hope mixed with surprise, then realization, then resignation. He slumped and the basket slid to the floor at his feet. I set the ship on the automatic pilot and went back into the cabin.
He is ready to leave us.
I'll open the hatch. You carry him over and dump him out.
Such a shame. But at least we shall keep the basket for remembrance.
He picked the old man up. I opened the hatch. As Lantovich came to the door, he felt the vacuum pull of the rushing air sliding past the plane. He tried to draw back, but I caught him with my foot and shoved them both out.
No!
I was alone in the cabin with the basket. When I opened it, I didn't even mind the stink of the hides. American dollars, British pounds, and jewelry. In a few hours, I'd be sailing from Bombay. A millionaire sailing from Bombay. Something was wrong. I felt it as I started back over the hump. It was bumpy, and the ship slithered and kicked, and there was a wall of darkness outside. There was something inside, too. Something or somebody in the cabin of the ship. I turned on the cabin lights and looked back, and there was nothing but a load of hides, but the feeling wouldn't go away. I tried to shake it off. In half an hour, I'd be passing over Kathmandu, just a sound in the night. I had to have a look through the cabin. I set the ship on the automatic pilot and slid from the seat, but she bucked me and I had to grab the controls. Mount Everest was someplace nearby in the dark. I was sweating. I couldn't leave the controls now. I had to stay with them. But I kept looking back into the cabin with that same feeling. Then I saw it. I saw something long and thin slithering across the hides. A loose rope. I tried to tell myself it was a loose rope, but a rope doesn't move like that. And the head lifted. The hooded head of a cobra. A cobra in the plane. Plane in the nearest base was Kathmandu, still 20 minutes away, and I couldn't take my hands off the controls. I flicked the radio switch. Black Cat. This is Red Kitten calling Black Cat. Come in, Black Cat. Red Kitten calling. Come in, Black Cat. Over.
Black Cat to Red Kitten. It is a surprise to hear from you, sir. You should be in Calcutta, sir.
You know where I am, you devil, you filthy little devil.
Has my pet awakened? He wants to be fed, sir. The cobra is very mean when he is not fed.
You put him in the plane.
The sting of the cobra kills swiftly, Mr. Slavin.
What can I do? Jafar, I'm begging you. What can I do?
Nothing, sir. There's nothing you can do. I could help you,
he's getting closer. Please, he's getting closer, please. Please!
You do not like my music, sir.
Music?
A serenade on the flute might distract him, but you do not care for the flute.
Play it! For heaven's sake, man, play it! He's only 6 feet away from me.
I will play, but will you land at Kathmandu?
Yes, 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 only play it! Play! Snake came closer. That ugly hooded head, spreading and raising and weaving in time with the music coming over the radio. It was only 2 feet away. Death only 2 feet away, and if Jafar stopped playing, he'd strike. An ugly, ill-tempered, hungry cobra, deadly to anybody but Jafar, who knew when he wanted to be fed. He knew the only thing in the world that could hold him was that flute. That flute, as long as Jafar kept playing it. I was over the hump. I saw the oil fires being lit on the strip at Black Cat. That meant that Grant knew I was coming in. Well, the flute was driving me mad. And the cobra. I never knew when he'd strike at some movement of my hands on the controls, and yet I had to move him to land. Oh, Grant! Grant, where are you?
I'm here, Slavin.
Please, give me landing instructions. Please, please, Grant!
When you hit the strip, taxi over to the operations shack as close as you can get. Jafar can keep the flute going. We'll open the hatch and try to distract the snake. Maybe we can get you out.
Make him keep playing, Grant. Make him keep playing!
We're coming out to watch your landing. I have the police with me, Slavin. Your friends in Calcutta have already been arrested on Jafar's information.
I made my approach to the strip. The head of the snake never stopped weaving. I could see Grant and the police in the light of the oil fires. I cut the motors, dropped down at the edge of the field. Another minute. If Jafar could just keep playing another minute, I was ready to set her down. The ground was right under the wings. And then the flute stopped!
Happy landing!
Jafar! Oh, Jafar, he bit me!
Well, what do you think, officer? Will he live?
Oh, bad crash. Afraid not. Too bad about your plane.
Oh, it's insured. I'll get another.
Oh, you might possibly get the money and the jewels, too, if nobody claims them. I doubt if anybody will.
No matter. I only want what is my own.
Well, Jafar, I'm afraid I shall have to arrest you.
Why, sir? There is no law that says I must play my flute.
No, but you deliberately put the snake in the plane.
The snake lies there dead, sir. Have you examined it? It is not poisonous. The poison sac and the fangs I removed long ago.
Oh, you mean the snake couldn't have hurt him?
He couldn't have been killed by that snake any more than he could have been shot by an unloaded gun.
I did not harm him, sir. My people do not use violence. It is against our belief.
I see, there's a strange one. No matter how long I'm out here, I'll never understand him.
Neither will Slavin, I'm afraid. We'd better cover him. He's dead.
Here's a weather forecast that's guaranteed to be accurate. There is a lot of hot weather coming. And driving in hot weather can spell trouble for your car, cause serious wear, sudden breakdowns. Don't take chances. See the Richfield gasoline dealer tomorrow and ask him to protect all points of your car with Richfield All Point Safety Service. Richfield All Point Safety Service is especially designed to guard your car against wear and breakdowns. The Richfield gasoline dealer will change your oil to Rich Lube All-Weather Motor Oil. The Pennsylvania premium-grade oil that cleans as it lubricates. He'll safely lubricate your chassis, differential, wheel bearings, and transmission. And he can care for automatic transmissions, too, with top-rated Richfield automatic transmission fluid. And finally, the Richfield dealer will safety check your car for all likely trouble spots. Get Richfield All-Point Safety Service for your car tomorrow. Stop where you see the Richfield Eagle on the cream and blue pumps. Escape is produced and directed by William N. Robeson, and tonight has presented Serenade for a Cobra by Joel Murcott. Featured in the cast were Charles McGraw as Slavin, Ramsey Hill as Grant, Jay Novello was Jafar. Also heard were Lucille Meredith, Joseph Kearns, and Paul Fries. Special music arranged and played by Ivan Dittmars. Next week...
You are slowly walking down the deserted street of a small cow town. And coming toward you is one of the bloodiest gunfighters of the West who has sworn to kill you and from whom there is no escape.
Next week at this time, the Richfield Oil Corporation of New York invites you to escape to the range country of the early West and to the story of a boy who grew up to be a gunfighter, as Joel Murcott tells it in his exciting story, Sundown. Goodbye then, until this same time next week when once again we offer you Escape. Tom Hanlon speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
From Hollywood. Hollywood, the George Burns and Gracie Allen Show for Hormel and Spam.
Crazy people. Spam, Reba, Boom, Spam. George Burns and Gracie Allen are the show with his orchestra for singing glee with a smoothie spree. Last but not least, and with Bud Heaston.
Night again with George Burns and Gracie Allen bringing a big load of fun and a suggestion about how to answer your husband when he calls up and says, I'm bringing the boss home for dinner. Now don't worry and get yourself in a daze. Serve Spam and your good man may get a raise. Of course, we can't promise that, but we can guarantee that when you include Spam, cold or hot, you serve a meal that hits the spot. He-Man appetites say Spam is great. Family or guests like the satisfying flavor, the grand-tasting goodness of this delicious meat. That's why Spam, the original meat of its kind in America, is by far the number one choice of housewives today. Try this tender, juicy meat. Use the easy recipes on the label of the Spam can. When you shop tomorrow, be sure to say to your food dealer, I want Spam. Tonight we find George and Gracie about to leave for the courthouse where Elsie Traliffas, the girl whom George promised to put on the radio, is suing him for $200,000 for breach of contract. And here they are, George and Gracie!
Gracie, before we leave for the courthouse, it's very important that you get this right. Now I'll try again for the 50th time. Now, you're on the witness stand and I'll pretend I'm the attorney. Now, you're gonna be my character witness.
What's that?
What's that?
Yeah.
A character witness is someone who would say you're nice, you're sweet, you're charming, adorable.
George.
What?
I was out with a character witness last night.
I better reword this whole thing. Look, Gracie, if I were your character witness, I'd say you were kind, considerate, in fact, a lovely girl.
Oh, now I get it.
Good. Now we'll try again. Miss Allen, what do you think of George Burns?
He's kind, considerate, in fact, a lovely girl.
Gracie, I'm not a lovely girl.
Have you tried washing your undies in Lux?
Gracie, for instance, if someone got up and said Mr. Burns is a straightforward, sincere, hard-working, industrious man, a credit to his community, what would that be?
A paid political announcement.
Bud, will you show Gracie what you're going to say when you're called as my character witness?
Certainly, George. I'll say George Burns is good, fine, and wholesome, just like Spam. He's loved by young and old, just like Spam. People enjoy him at picnics and parties, just like Spam. As a matter of fact, they are alike in all respects but one. Spam doesn't need refrigeration.
Thanks, Bud, but that's a nice TL for me, but I don't need refrigeration either.
No? Then why does everybody say that you're going to be in the cooler?
Gracie, it's very important that you know what a character witness is. It's someone who knows me personally and gets up and tells the jury what they know about me.
Senor Burns, I shall be most happy to be a character witness for my friend who I've known for a long distance.
Well, thanks, Senor Lee. Now, what would you say about me?
Pues tendré que decir la verdad, ¿verdad? Como soy un hombre muy honrado, me veré obligado
that's,
a decir...
That's que en el very, que very yo... nice, Senor Lee. But why don't you say what you know about me in English?
You want to lose the case?
Well, I can see Elsie Traliffas spending my $200,000 right now.
George, your car's waiting downstairs. We better start for court.
Well, thanks, Artie. Oh, by the way, Artie, will you tell Gracie what you're going to say when you're on the stand as my character witness?
Oh, sure. I know George Burns, and I've been with him for a long time. We've never had a contract. His word is his bond. And I might add that I only wish that I were half the man that he is. See, Gracie? Boy, the things I have to say to hold this job.
That's nice gratitude. Why, Artie, when I first met you, you were a spendthrift, and I changed you. You thought of nothing but running around and having a good time, and I changed you. What were you when I first picked you up? Huh, a baby.
And he changed you.
Oh, quiet. What do you think, this is a joke?
I don't know, it got a laugh.
I wonder if Elsie Traliphas is having this kind of trouble.
George, I'm surprised that lawyer isn't here yet.
Oh, by the way, Gracie, are you sure that lawyer you hired for me is all right?
Well, he handled my uncle's divorce case and settled the whole thing in one day.
How did your uncle make out?
Well, he got the custody of his wife's parents.
Gracie, I've got a TL for you. I'm not going to use that lawyer. I'm going to defend my own case. Everything happens to me.
Mr. Burns.
What is it, Mr. Salmon?
Nothing happens to you. A famous psychologist once took two newborn babies, of which I was one, brought me up scientifically and allowed the other baby to follow his natural inclinations without any restraining influences. While I was learning Greek, ornithology, higher mathematics, and diction, the other boy played marbles, cops, and robbers, and spoke through the side of his mouth. That was many years ago. We're both men now. His name is James Cagney, making $10,000 a week, and this is what I do for a living.
Don't be so envious now, man. After all, what's James Cagney got? All day long, he sits in the stuffy studio under those hot lights, kissing Ann Sheridan. Should happen to me. How can I be so witty with a lawsuit staring me in the face?
You know, that's cute about James Cagney, but I know another success story. It's about a girl who was very poor. Then one day, out of clear blue sky, her whole life changed, and now she's going to have all the money she needs to buy all the nice things that she dreamed about.
Oh, that's a wonderful story, Gracie. Who's the girl?
Her name is Elsie Traliphas.
Elsie Traliphas? Come on. Come, everybody. Let's get into the car. We'll never get to the court. Smoothies. Take it.
You ask me why I'm always teasing you. You hate to have me call you pretty baby.
I really thought that I was pleasing you.
Boy, you're just a baby to me. Your cunning little dimples and your baby's bear. Your baby talking, baby walking, curly hair. Your baby's smile makes life worthwhile. You're just as sweet as you can be. Everybody loves a baby, that's why I'm in love with you. Pretty baby. Pretty baby, and I like to be your sister, brother, dad, and mother too. Pretty baby, pretty baby, won't you come and let me rock you in my cradle of love, and we'll cuddle all the time. Oh, I wanna love the baby, and it might as well be you. Pretty baby of mine, I must love a pretty baby, and it might as well be you. Pretty baby, pretty baby. Pretty baby, pretty baby.
Won't you come and let me rock you in my cradle of love, and we'll cuddle all the time.
Oh, what a loving baby, and it might as well be you. Beautiful baby of mine, oh my. Everybody loves a baby, that's why I'm in love with you. Pretty baby of mine, and I'd like to be your sister, daddy, mother too. Pretty baby, pretty baby, won't you come and let me rock you in my cradle of love, and we'll cuddle all the time. Oh, I want a loving baby.
Well, I could be your loving baby.
Well, could you love a sort of maybe?
Oh, I've got plenty of loving me, baby.
Oh, bad, pretty little baby of
Well, Gracie, we'll reach the courthouse in 2 minutes. Is everything clear in your mind?
Yeah, except one thing.
What's that?
What's the character witness?
Gracie, look. If you were on trial and I'd get up in court and say that you're intelligent, considerate, and a conscientious girl, a person who has a keen sense of responsibility, whose brilliance is matched only by her beauty, why would I say that?
Well, because you're under oath and you've got to tell the truth.
I don't know. I think I'm going out of my mind.
Hey, look out for that car, George.
What car? Ah!
George, that was your fault. The man's getting out of his car.
I know, but leave it to me, Artie. I'll just start hollering and scare him to death. Hey, mister.
He looks half your size.
Hey, dope.
He's standing up now. Look, he's twice your size.
Now, listen, chum.
Listen here, you. You drivers like you shouldn't be allowed on the street, driving through a safety zone. Don't you know the traffic rules? Do you know what the single white line is for?
Yeah, that's for trucks to follow.
What's the double white line for?
That's for pleasure cars to follow.
What are the zigzag lines for?
That's what the Los Angeles drivers follow.
Evidently, you don't know how to drive a car.
My dear senor, he don't know how to drive a car?
No.
Don't be ridiculous.
You mean ridiculous. Come on, I'm in a hurry. Out of my way. Everybody, I'm going to step on it.
Say, George, when you started the car, you bumped into him.
Yeah, and he's got your license number.
He has?
Yeah, on the seat of his pants.
I can't understand it. My case was supposed to have started a half an hour ago, and the judge isn't here yet. Hey, bailiff. What happened to the judge?
He's back there ranting and raving. I've never seen him so mad.
How do you like that? I'm being sued for $200,000 and he's mad. What happened?
Well, on his way to the courthouse, some crazy driver ran into him.
This is a fine thing. Some dopey driver running into...
Oh.
George fainted.
Well, what's the matter with him?
Well, he's suffering from a run-down condition.
He's run down?
No, the judge was.
Oh. What happened? Now I remember. My case. The accident. The judge. Say, bailiff, don't tell me he's the judge who's sitting today.
Yes, he's on the bench.
He may be on the bench, but I'll bet he's not sitting.
He's probably sore about something, if you know what I mean.
I think I know what you mean. Look, I can't appear before this judge. As soon as he sees me, I'm a dead duck.
Well, George, why don't you just comb your hair in front of your eyes? Then he won't recognize you.
Senor Burns, nothing would help you with that thick head of hair.
Leave my hair out of it.
All right. Nothing will help you with that thick head.
Here's an idea. Why don't you comb your eyebrows down over your face?
Comb my eyebrows down over my face? That's silly. Who'll the judge think I am?
John L. Lewis.
John L. Lewis? Oh, a Labor Day joke. I see what you mean. I wonder if things like this happen to other people.
Thank you.
wonder what's keeping the judge.
I hear he was in an automobile accident.
Marie, which one is George Burns?
I don't know.
Pardon me, but if you'll allow a sound man. You see that handsome fellow next to the old man?
Yeah?
Well, the old man is George Burns.
Gracie, the judge will be here any minute. Now, do you know what a character witness is?
No.
No? A character witness is a party that says nice things about another party.
Oh, let me see. Can't be the Republicans and Democrats.
Look, Gracie, let's...
Pardon me, are you Gracie Allen on the radio?
Mm-hmm. I'm Gracie Allen here, too.
Well, that charming young man who always talks about Spam, is he here in court, too?
Pardon me, I couldn't help overhearing your conversation, madam, and thank you very much. You know, tomorrow, millions of American youngsters go back to school.
Oh, aren't you going to talk about Spam?
Give them time, madam.
Well, when school opens, times will be busy, so we want to give you this suggestion about school lunches.
Spam?
Right, Spam. Whether you pack a lunch or the children run home at noon, you'll make a hit with Spam, S-P-A-M. Youngsters love this delicious meat, the grand flavor, the satisfying taste. Spam keeps without refrigeration, is all ready to eat as soon as you open the can, and is easy to use in dozens of time-saving ways. Put plain Spamwiches in the school lunch box, or serve sliced Spam with hot stewed tomatoes, bread, butter, and milk. A swell school lunch at home.
Isn't he wonderful?
Yes, he's a little dreamboat.
Oh, and here's one more very important thing. Besides taste, you want quality. So you may know exactly what you're getting, Hormel is proud to put on the label of the Spam can this sentence, pork shoulder meat with ham meat added. That's your guarantee of goodness and quality, for Spam is a perfect blend of these two choice cuts. So solve your school lunch problems with food that's nourishing, tasty, satisfying, and good. Ask your food dealer for Spam, S-P-A-M, when you shop tomorrow. Try the easy recipes on the label and discover how this delicious meat solves mealtime problems in a hurry.
I think this young man is the best announcer on the radio. And furthermore, I think you should give him a raise.
I'll consider it, madam.
Goodbye, Mr. Burns.
Goodbye, madam.
Goodbye, Bud.
Goodbye, mother.
Slice it, dice it, fry it, bake it, cold or hot, Spam hits the spot.
Everybody rise. Court now in session. His Honor Judge Hammond presiding. First case in the docket, breach of contract suit. L.C. Tranafast versus Judge Nathaniel Burns, alias Poopsie.
Are both sides ready?
Plaintiff is ready. I represent L.C. Tranafast, Your Honor.
George, you better cover up your face. If the judge finds out who you are, you'll lose the case.
If he covers up his face, it'll be even worse.
What do you mean?
He'll get him for concealing a deadly weapon.
I know what I'll do. I'll just hold my head down. Come
now. You're wasting the court's time. Will the defense speak up?
Well, Your Honor, I'm George Burns, and I'm defending my own case.
Young man, when you speak to me, stand up straight and look straight at me.
Well, Your Honor, I'm down here tying my shoelace.
Oh, never do that, young man. This morning I bent down to tie a shoelace, and a car hit me right in the safety zone.
Well, that's life, I guess.
Why, the fellow who was driving that car must have been blind.
Blind? He hit you, didn't he?
Quiet, Gracie.
Well, George, I'm not going to let anybody say you're blind and get away with it.
Gracie,
I think he's got a lot of nerve.
You're spoiling the whole thing.
Aha! Turn around, young man. So you're the fellow who hit me in the safety zone.
That's George. Cold or hot, he hits the spot.
Gracie, please. You see, it wasn't my car, Your Honor. It was the car that resembled my car.
Oh, maybe the judge was struck by the resemblance.
You see, Your Honor, what...
Silence. Miss Tranafast, so this is the man you're suing.
That's right, Your Honor.
Well, let's get on with the case. And you're suing him for $300,000.
No, Your Honor, $200,000.
Such a small sum.
Your Honor, you're not going to let a little thing like being hit in the safety zone affect my case.
Mr. Burns, this is a court of law. What transpires between myself and yourself will absolutely have no bearing on the case whatsoever. I assure you, you will have a fair, unbiased, impartial trial.
Now, Senor Judge, you cannot do that to Senor Burns. A finer man shouldn't leave.
Stop helping me, Senor Lee.
Take it easy, Senor Burns. You'll strain your tinsels.
Tinsels?
Si.
You mean tonsils. Tinsel is something that's covered with gilt.
You're innocent?
Gracie, I can see I haven't got a leg to stand on.
Just leave it to me.
Look, Gracie, will you stay
out? Now, I want to testify for George Burns.
Oh. Are you prepared to say that George Burns is innocent?
Yes. I never told a lie in my life, and all I want is a chance.
Gracie, will you come back here and...
Silence! Let's get on with this trial. The case for Elsie Talapas versus George Poopsie Burns.
Will the jury stand up and call out their names?
Joe Talapas!
Tom Talapas!
Al Talapas!
Jimmy Talapas!
Aaron Talapas!
Junior Talapas!
Arthur Talapas!
And Clarence Talapas!
Well, that's only 11. You there in the corner, what's your name?
Willie Burns.
Poopsie, you're trying to fix the jury, eh?
Now, listen, Judge, I don't even...
Silence, silence! Quiet, or I'll have you fined $100 for contempt of court.
$100? That doesn't begin to show your contempt for this court, does it, George?
I see. Will you stop?
Mr. Burns, is it true that you took Elsie Talapas to the beach and played piggyback with her? And
well, nobody...
put her on the radio? You did? Next witness.
But, Your Honor, I never...
Silence!
What a trial.
Programs, programs, get your programs. Can't tell the judge from the criminal without a program.
I object.
Who are you?
Artie Shaw.
And what are you objecting to?
I haven't had a line for 10 minutes.
Your Honor, I'll prove my innocence. Gracie, will you take the stand?
All right.
Now, what's your name?
Gracie L. Allen.
What's the L for?
Oh, please, George, watch your language.
Where were you born?
San Francisco.
Before the fire?
No, in back of the piano.
Listen, Gracie...
You know what my father said when I was born?
I object!
You guessed it!
Now, will you tell the court, Miss Allen, have I ever promised Elsie Talapas to make her my partner and put her on the radio?
I don't remember.
You don't remember what?
I don't remember what you told me to say.
Bud, did I ever promise to put Elsie Talapas on the radio?
I don't know.
Artie, did I promise to put Elsie Talapas on the radio?
I don't know.
Canada Dry pays out $10 in the set of the encyclopedias to Mrs. Walter Murphy who sent in that question.
Isn't there anybody in this court who can say one nice word about me?
Mr. Burns, if you'll allow a sound man.
Well, with pleasure.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, opposing counsel and Your Honor.
Well, now you'll hear some stuff.
You cannot try Mr. Burns as you would an ordinary layman. Actors are different from most people, and therefore they cannot be adjudged by the same standards.
And what makes you think Mr. Burns is an actor?
Your Honor, every performer has something that endears him to the public.
Well, he wouldn't know that, you see.
Eddie Cantor makes people laugh with his pop eyes.
I've got some stuff, too.
Charlie Chaplin gets laughs with his wistful look.
That's right.
Fred Allen gets laughs with his nasal twang.
And what does Mr. Burns have that makes people laugh?
Gracie Allen.
Well, this is fine. If I had my...
Silence!
Oh!
Gentlemen of the jury, you have heard all the evidence.
All the evidence? I object, Your Honor. I have something to say that will prove my complete innocence. And any...
Out of order! Oh. Silence! Gentlemen of the jury, you have heard all the evidence in this case. I want you to go to the jury room now and weigh each bit of testimony very, very carefully and come back with an impartial verdict of guilty.
Help! I'm being framed!
Thanks, Judge.
That's all right, Mrs. Talapas. I'll see you again tonight.
Oh, well, just a minute, just a minute. Now, before this thing goes too far, I want to warn Elsie Talapas right now that if she doesn't drop this lawsuit against George Burns, I'll tell all about her being out with Johnny Hyde.
Oh, no, no, not that. I'll drop the suit and pay all the costs, but please, please don't tell them about Johnny Hyde.
You, my client, you knew Johnny Hyde?
She knew Johnny Hyde?
She knew Johnny Hyde.
She was out with Johnny Hyde. Johnny Hyde.
She knew Johnny Hyde?
She knew Johnny Hyde.
Johnny Hyde.
Johnny Hyde.
Johnny Hyde.
The George Burns acquitted.
Every day by Elsie Talapas prop suit admits knowing Johnny Hyde.
I see you were simply marvelous.
You saved me $200,000, and I certainly appreciate it. But there's one thing I'd like to know.
What's that?
Who's Johnny Hyde?
Who's Johnny Hyde?
Yes.
Who's Johnny Hyde? Who's Johnny Hyde?
Well, who is he?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Remember, mothers, school starts tomorrow, as if you didn't know, and you're going to have a lot of ideas for lunches. Why not let Spam do the work? Youngsters love this delicious meat, and you can bet your life Spam will satisfy husky appetites. You'll like the way Spam saves kitchen time, too. It keeps without refrigeration, is all ready to eat as soon as you open the Spam can. In lunchboxes or on the table at noon, Spam is wholesome, nourishing food for school youngsters. Ask for Spam, S-P-A-M, when you shop tomorrow and try the easy recipes on the label.
Well, thanks, Bud. Well, Gracie, say goodnight.
Goodnight.
Well, come on, I'll take you home.
Oh, George, I can't. I've just had a summons.
A summons?
Oh, Gracie!
Coming, Judgy Wudgy. I'll be right there. Goodnight, George.
Goodnight, folks.
Listen again next Monday night, same time, same station, for George Burns and Gracie Allen, with Artie Shaw and his orchestra and the Smoothies, brought to you by Hormel and Spam. Until then, this is Bud Heaston reminding you to remember that cold or hot, Spam hits the spot. Have you tried Hormel Chili Con Carne? You may think you don't like chili, but Chili Con Carne, the way Hormel makes it, is different, and everybody likes it. Double your money back if you don't like it. Try Hormel Chili Con Carne tomorrow. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.